You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
In all of the hoopla on the World Series, we still have NBA basketball going on right now, and in fact, that's what's going to carry us throughout the weekdays. I think throughout the summer, you get baseball. I love West Coast baseball. Late at night, there's really nothing else to do. You sit back, you relax, you watch a baseball game. The NBA is the same way. I love West Coast hoops. It's always something going on, right? Now we are about 2 weeks deep into the regular season, and I think there's plenty of storylines. So before we continue the World Series talk, I want to move over, talk some NBA basketball, and we will do that with our good friend, our NBA analyst, James Holas, who is joining us right now over the phone. James, always a pleasure.
Congratulations to the Dodgers and the Dodgers fans, but now that the pesky Major League Baseball is out of the way, all we got to do is annihilate football, and then basketball can be all is basketball. Let's go, NBA.
Yeah, that's right. Basketball is almost king. I mean, we only have a couple of more months of football, and then the NBA will carry us. I do feel like opening day for a lot of fringe fans in basketball has always been December 25th. I've always felt that way. I mean, not for us. We watch the NBA year-round, but I think for those who are just kind of lighthearted casual fans, Christmas Day has always been marquee. And if that's the way you view it, I kind of feel bad for you this year because you were missing out on some really extraordinary storylines in the NBA. James, I think the first 2 weeks of the season have been outstanding.
Totally agree. For us sickos who can't get enough basketball, right, we tuned in from day one, and it's been an amazing start to the season. But, yeah, a lot of casual fans tell me, yeah, I don't really care until Christmas, and they'll say, or they'll say, you know, I don't really care until around the All-Star break or whatever. So, but, yeah, for us, the people like me and you who just can't get enough, this season has been really, really good from the start, from the rookies to the young stars taking off to some drama already in, with certain teams. So, yeah, so far the NBA has been off to a rip-roaring start.
I want to talk about some of that drama, and we will begin in Los Angeles. I know today it was the victory parade for the World Series. I don't know that the Lakers are front. In fact, I know they're not front and center in Los Angeles right now. But before we know it, one of the storylines that they are not going to be able to escape is the early season success this team is having without LeBron James. The Lakers are 5-2, and I do believe there's context to that. You have to take a look at the schedule, and it has not been daunting by any stretch of the imagination. But the fact of the matter is, this is a team that has typically started in a hole over the last 5 years, and they've had to work their way out of it. That is not the case this year, and they have done this with LeBron James sitting on the bench. You go back, you take a look at the offseason, the alleged turmoil that was going on there. Will he? Won't he? Is he not happy? I mean, he's a free agent at the end of the year. All of the stories, James, where there's smoke, there's fire, and here we are 7 games into the season. They're 5-2, and they haven't missed a beat without him.
Yeah, and this is what's so fascinating. There's another parallel that we'll talk about in the Western Conference because I was, you know, very curious to see how the Lakers were going to come out without LeBron. I didn't think they would be this good. I didn't think Austin Reeves would be this dominant. Now, I'm going to couch that. I mean, we talked about this last year, I think. Like, it takes about 20 games for a team to be who they really are. So we have some teams that will have unexpected hot starts, some teams will come out a little slow. Don't panic too much. But I guess for Lakers fans, like, it's no matter what, it's glorious to see Austin Reeves drop a 50-piece. It's glorious to see DeAndre Ayton having double-doubles. Guys like Rui have been playing really well. So, like, you know, Marcus Smart has been a key piece, and he's looked okay in spots. I thought he was washed up in the preseason and from the injuries he's already having. So it must be great. Luka was supposed to be down for a while from what I heard with that injury, but he came back pretty quickly, and he came back and didn't miss a beat. And it's almost like, you know, we know today it's early, small sample size, but two guys in the Lakers are just about unstoppable. And that changes the whole floor. The real question is, how's LeBron fit? I was going to say, like, De'Aaron Fox in the Spurs, right? They look great without him. And then until they just lost by like 30 to a team. So while this team still has a high ceiling, the Lakers, I think LeBron James changes what the floor would be. They would never, like, it's just having three guys like Luka, LeBron, and Austin Reeves, like, how do you really defend that when you have one of those guys on the floor at any time? How do you really kind of put up a damper on that offense? I think the Lakers still don't have enough shooting outside of the couple guys that make shots, but right now, man, Austin Reeves playing this level changes everything.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this lineup last night because the Lakers in their win over Miami, they roll out Marcus Smart, Luka, and Austin Reeves, and I love that. Because one of the biggest complaints I had about this roster is that if you have a backcourt of Luka and Austin Reeves, sure, they may put up 80, but they're going to give up 90. I mean, it's just atrocious on the defensive side of the ball. And I'm going to give Luka his roses because he has looked better defensively. But when I look at this lineup last night, Smart, Doncic, Reeves, Hayes, and Hachimura, and it's because DeAndre Ayton was out last night with back spasms. If you remove Jackson Hayes and you insert LeBron James, it's a small lineup. But I'll tell you, James, I think that could be absolutely lethal while you bring in, maybe it's Ayton that comes off your bench. Vanderbilt looked formidable for a bit. Jake LaRavia has really, really filled this role nicely. This is a much deeper team, and I think J.J. Redick can get creative night to night with the starting lineup if he wants to.
Absolutely. Just having real NBA rotation guys that have minimal flaws. Like I, you know what? I think I said something about this has been my agenda. Trading Jake LaRavia really was the first domino or one of the main dominoes that made the Memphis Grizzlies unravel last year. And the if you look at the dates up to the trade and after the trade, it kind of reflects that. And, like, he's a really good player. We saw the night he had, 25-8 or whatever it was. And, like, he's a good size, good defender, good decision maker, good cutter. He's a really good player. Having a guy like him and Marcus Smart makes such a difference because last year was, Gabe Vincent, and Dalton Connect getting real rotation minutes. So, yeah, it's amazing what having capable guys just does. And we know what? We know that J.J. Redick has a good basketball mind. Year one last year, cool. He did fine. We're seeing this year with more tools, he can do better. I mean, it sounds simple, but it is what it is.
Let's talk about what is next for LeBron, because someone asked me this today, and I thought, you know what? That's a really good question. Will his ego allow him to be a second or third option?
That's a great question, because LeBron James last season was second team All-NBA?
Yep.
Like, we're in such a strange place. It's uncharted territory. Yep. A player playing this long, at this age, at this level, and now his team is almost trying to hey, man, we're ready to kind of turn the page, but he's simply too good just to say, hey, come here and take a tertiary role. Come here and be a Robin and be a role player. He's too good for that. But even he has to know, his time as a 55-million-plus player has to kind of be winding down, because no other team in this cap environment is going to say, hey, come on, LeBron, come be our best player. They want a younger guy. They want a guy who's going to be here for the long haul, and he's just not that player. So this is a truly unique situation for LeBron James and for the NBA. I don't know, man. I'd like to hear your thoughts on it, because obviously the future is Luka and Austin Reeves. And whoever else they can get, they're trying to, they're kind of setting up to have cap space in a couple of years to make a run at Giannis. So, where does LeBron fit? This is really, really, really unprecedented. Does he go back to Cleveland somehow? I have no idea, man. You tell me what you think.
Well, I think right now with this Laker role, and let me say that I've got to be completely honest in the situation. I have never been a LeBron guy. I've always tried to be fair to the situation, even though he's just. I've never been able to gravitate towards him at any point in time in his career. He's always done something that has rubbed me the wrong way. Okay, yet, if I'm being truthful in the situation, I believe later in his career, he has wanted to become more passive. I believe that. And every time he becomes more passive, the media and fans and pundits and analysts have been unfair to him in a sense of using it as kind of an idea to take a stab at him. I do believe he's wanted to become more passive, but I think that finally he is a part of a team that will allow him to age a little bit more gracefully. And if he's willing to accept that, I think he has a home in LA for the next 2-3 years by what they're building, but he has to be able to accept that. I think I'm kind of answering that in a cop-out sense, but hopefully you understand where I'm getting at.
Well, last thing I want to say, I understand what you're saying, and it sounds good, but I think like the Russell Westbrook situation on steroids, no matter what he wants, players are going to always, 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 because of who he is in their minds. They watched this guy when they were in middle school and high school, and they're playing with him. They're all going to acquiesce to him. So I think it's really hard for even the players to consciously say, hey, LeBron James on the floor, I'm doing my thing. They're always going to kind of look at him as a safety net. You know what I mean? And the reason I bring up Russell Westbrook, because I think Westbrook is ready to take that kind of smaller role. But players talk about him the way they talk about, it's hard. The stature, his stature in their eyes does not allow them to look at him as a smaller role player. Because, he's Russell Westbrook. LeBron is like that times 1,000. where these guys, they love LeBron, and they look at him like the numbers look good. He still looks the same, but we know he's older. He can't redo what he did like in the past. So can they find that balance between saying, hey, we're going to be our full selves, and also LeBron James is going to fit, let LeBron James kind of step back and play a Draymond role? That's going to be interesting to see.
Again, James Hollis joining us right now as we talk NBA basketball. We'll get to more drama in a moment. But if we're talking about the Lakers and we talk about Luka and the way he has played, I know last week we talked about Wemby and what we are seeing here. It's unprecedented, right? It is truly only right that through six games in the season, we talk about Tyrese Maxey and what he is doing in Philadelphia. The 76ers are sitting at 5-1, and Tyrese Maxey has been playing on another level. And James, we have to give this guy his credit. I mean, at six games into the season, I get it, but still, he has been fascinating to watch.
Yeah, no matter how many games, but, you know, the old standard caveat, 20 games, blah, 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 he's doing it right now. You can't take anything away from him.
Yep.
For a guy who comes, you know, last 2 years were great. Boom, 26 points a game, 27, almost 26 points a game last two seasons. He was great. He's averaging 34 points a game. He is unstoppable. He's hitting pull-up threes off the dribble. He's hitting threes off the catch with a hand in his face. No one can get in front of him because he's cat-like quickness. He's averaging 9 assists. Like, dude, before this, his career high was 6. And he's not turning the ball over. It's absolutely astounding. Joel Embiid's a shell of himself. You know, he has a bunch of random good role players. Edgecombe is a rookie, and they look really, really good. Like, I can't take anything away from them. The one thing, they're playing 42 minutes a game, almost 43 minutes a game right now.
Yeah.
That can't last. Because even though he's only 25, you don't want to wear this guy out. He only played 52 games last year. He played 60 games a couple seasons ago. So you don't want to wear him out. He's still young, but still. But Tyrese Maxey, I mean, we talk about Giannis. We talk about Wemby. The numbers might not quite be there, but as far as winning, team like the team importance, you got to say he's an MVP candidate.
No question. No question. And I hate saying this. I really do. But as we are 2 weeks, week and a half into the season, Wemby, Luka, Maxey, I think they've been the three best. Those would be the three on my MVP list. Am I missing someone?
I'm going to say Giannis. I didn't think the Bucks would be this good. I think they just lost the other day for the first time, or like they have two losses or whatever. But they looked really good, and in the middle of everything they've done, Miles Turner had a slow start. I think he was all right last couple games, but it's been Giannis. It's been the Giannis show. It's been shooters around Giannis, and he's been incredible. I think I don't even have his numbers in front of me, but I know I think he was averaging like 35, I don't know, 14-7 or some nonsense. So I know that they haven't been a story other than the drama, but I think people might start taking Giannis a little bit for granted because every year for the last few years, he's been considered a top three player in the NBA. And right now, he's playing like a top three player in the NBA. It was 34 points a game, 13 rebounds, 7 assists. And, yeah, he's playing only 32 minutes a game, almost 33 minutes a game. So he's been absolutely incredible. And because I think we've already kind of, in our minds, said Milwaukee won't be that good this year, they've been really good. So we can't take nothing away from them.
Well, there is one team that's being talked about from a controversial standpoint that's not good, and that is the Memphis Grizzlies. Already in this season, Ja Morant, he has been suspended for conduct detrimental to the team. Right now, and hear me out on this, man, because someone ripped me for saying this last week. I said that the Grizzlies are on a similar path, a similar trajectory as the Nuggets in the mid to late 2000s. I'm talking about 2007, 2008, 2009 Nuggets. I did not mean that in a derogatory way. What I was simply saying was it was a team that was really good in the regular season. It was a team that came very close to getting to the NBA Finals. It was a team that a lot of people really enjoyed watching, but they never got to the finals and they peaked out. I don't think anyone can argue the fact that this is a Grizzly team that has completely peaked out in a similar sense. And I also believe that there is a disgruntled superstar on this roster, similar to Carmelo, going back to the late 2000s in Denver. It seems to me like it's time for the Grizzlies to move on from Ja Morant. That's the parallels that I was trying to create in making that comparison a week ago.
I'm going to say this. That comparison almost does a disservice to those 2000 Nuggets teams, like late 2000 Nuggets teams, because they actually were like really good, and they like actually made playoff runs, and they like actually put fear in teams because they were so good. This Memphis team, they had such an early peak, and they look like they're ready to take off. It's so many factors. I will admit it. I wasn't the biggest Dillon Brooks fan. but he meant something to that team.
Yeah, he did.
And two things could be true. They had to move on from him because I think he started getting too big for his britches, and he was maybe he had outsized impact and voice compared to what he did on the court. But it meant something, so they might have had to move him. He was a little out of control, but two, they never replaced that. And now this is a team that has all swagger, no bite. I just saw this crazy stat. Ja hasn't played 7 consecutive games for the Grizzlies in the last 2 seasons.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that crazy? And
yeah.
Like last year, I think he only played, 30 or 40 games, 50 games. So he's an amazing talent. It's crazy how perception changes. He's been his own worst enemy. He's done some things. And now, let's be real. He was a part of the reason that coach got fired last year.
Yep.
That team, let's be real. They had a great offense, but he didn't have the ball in his hands. He didn't like it, so they started kind of shifting back with the ball in his hands. Obviously the Laravia trade, that's my agenda, but that was part of it because he was so important piece. And they fell apart, and they fired their coach. And now there's a new coach in, and he's starting the same thing with this coach because they're trying to hold him accountable in ways that no one has ever held him accountable, and he's bucking back. And so this is a very, 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 it's like dry tinder in forest fire country. Because this can go really bad. If John Morant can't look in the mirror and take some accountability and be more of a team guy, and they're kind of showing. Look who got the big contract last summer. It was Jaren Jackson Jr. They're trying to do this thing the right way. I think they went about it the wrong way last year with the way they did the coaches and everything, and maybe it's going to all unravel still. But they're trying to put the brakes on, but it might be too late because the John Morant situation seems very, very untenable in Memphis right now.
Will he finish the season in a Grizzlies uniform?
Ooh, that's really tough because, again, new cap environment. Who wants to pay this guy $65 million a year? It's a $65 million talent is the leadership there because, by all accounts, that's why he got suspended because he got called out by the coach in the locker room in front of the rest of the team, as the coach should do, trying to hold him accountable, and he reacted in a way that was unacceptable. That's the story I'm hearing. So, what do you want to give a guy max money and the keys of your franchise if you don't know if he's the leader that you need? That's tough. It's a really tough place. In this cap environment, $65 million is a lot of money. Any cap environment. So he's not going to go somewhere and just say, hey, I'm ready to be Robin. I'm ready to be a role player. Is he going to change to be a good soldier? Probably not. So I'm going to say yes this year. This is going to be the make or break year for him in Memphis. Next summer is going to be the real challenge.
James, before I let you go, is there another storyline that's caught your attention that is worth mentioning 2 weeks into the season?
The Miami Heat. It's funny. These are tangential. Last year, the Memphis ownership, the front office, went to their coach and said, hey, get 5-year assistants out of here. We're bringing these two guys in. They brought the two guys in. When they fired the head coach, they fired one of those guys. These guys implemented a brand-new offense in Memphis last year that was great for a big part of the year. Teams got a scouting report on it, got a little tougher, and Ja didn't like it. The Miami Heat hired one of those guys. I'm sorry, I have his name right in front of me. I'm sure you'll look up, let your guys know later. But they hired one of these guys, and the Miami Heat offense has been revamped. They say that Spo, he went to this guy and said, hey, I need help. Help me with the offense. They installed a whole new offense. And Bam is shooting, went from shooting 2 threes a game to 7. They say he goes whole halves without calling plays because it's a very free-flowing offense, read-and-react offense, and the Miami Heat look unstoppable sometimes. So to me, that's a big story that one of those coaches from Memphis last year that got fired, now he's in Miami, he's made a huge change. And that's something to watch because I thought Miami was going to be miserable this year, and they're actually really fun to watch. They play hard. There you go.
He is James Solis. Again, takes out the time to join us each week as we get to talk some NBA basketball. James, always a pleasure to get you on. Where can we find more of you?
You can find me on all social media platforms at Snotty Drippin. Think about the name Scottie Pippen. Change a couple letters and as an homage to him. Thank you for not bringing up the fact that the Celtics got smashed by almost 30 the other night by the whatever team that was that beat the heck out of us.
I didn't mention it for obvious reasons because Boston is still 3-4. And I think you have to look past a 26, 27-point loss to the Rockets. Right, you look past that right now in the early going of the season. Let's see where this team's at in a month from now.
I understand that, so thank you for being magnanimous. But it was very painful to watch. Kevin Durant is still a terror, and anyone making excuses for not trading for him in Miami or any other team needs to be slapped because he is still incredible.
Yeah, I agree. James, it's always a pleasure. Can't wait to do it again next week.
All right, brother.
Always a pleasure to get James Holas here on Drive Time Sports. We get to talk some NBA basketball. The Utah Jazz coming up tonight, 5:30 tip-off against the Boston Celtics. Our live coverage is going to begin at 5:20. We've got to pause for just a moment. More coming up. We'll move over and recap the phenomenal World Series. Dodgers go back-to-back for the first time in 20 years. Been a long time since we've seen this in Major League Baseball. We'll talk about that and more when we return.